Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, we made it home. We made it home. And man, I am so full of energy this morning, even though we've been running low on sleep. I'm full of energy. You know, the Bible tells us this, that as iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens the countenance of his brother, iron sharpens iron. Friends, listen to me. I so encouraged. Unbelievably encouraged. Bear with me, man. We're going someplace. We're going someplace good. In fact, you might want to tell somebody to tune in this morning. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you this. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We're going to talk about that a little bit here today. And I thank God that as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen the countenance of his brother. And I want to thank God publicly. I got a lot of people I want to thank, I thank God that he brought Randy Lunsford into my life. I thank God for that. I thank God that he brought Ohio Brett into my life. I thank God that he brought Annette and Carlos into my life. I thank God he brought Betty Perkins into my life. I thank God he brought Joe Silver into my life. Because why? Every one of you are playing a part in sharpening me, sharpening this tip of the, we're at the tip of a spear, folks. We're at the tip of the spear. And every one of you are enabling us to sharpen that spear as we go forward. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't care if you think this sounds arrogant. Okay, I don't care. I don't care what you think what you want. I sat there for 2 days and listened to speakers. Some of the most amazing people who've been through hell, most amazing people. And every time they would speak, I would elbow somebody and say, yep, that's what I've been saying. That's what I've been saying. I've been saying that for 15 years. I've been saying that for 15 years. And all of a sudden, God is awakening and opening and supplying those who are going to help advance the vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. We all heard that, right, folks? But do you understand that the word perish doesn't mean die? The Bible doesn't say where there is no vision, the people die. If you look up perish in the, I don't want to get into the Greek and hermeneutics and all that stuff, but if you look up perish, where there is no vision, the people perish, you will see the picture of a wild stallion. Where there's no vision, the people are an unbridled wild stallion, running here and running there and running there, got all this energy, running out, doing all this stuff, and really getting nothing done. And it doesn't mean that you're going to die. It means that you're going to wear yourself out if you don't have a clear vision. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, this one thing I do, I press on, right? He says, I press on. And I thank God for people who come alongside me, alongside us, who are not afraid to say, hey, coach, have you thought about this? Have you thought about changing this? Have you looked at it from this perspective? Because sometimes, see, I'm just a dude. I'm just a dude. I'm losing weight, but I'm just a dude, right? I'm no different than anybody else. And I'm looking at Mike Lindell. He's just a guy. I'm looking at General Flynn. He's just a guy. I'm looking at Robert F. Kennedy. He's just a guy. I'm looking at Roger Stone. He's just a guy. He isn't any different than you and I. Yeah, maybe Robert F. Kennedy. Maybe he was born on third base. Maybe he was. And since he was born on third base, yeah, maybe he got to home plate a little bit quicker than the rest of us. But other than that, folks, he just, hey, that guy lost his dad and his uncle to assassins, right? He's just a guy, just like all of us. And yet we sit around, we say, Lord, what's going on? Lord, I want to do that. I want to be that guy. Do you really? Do you really? Do you really have the gonads that it takes to be that guy? Because I'm going to tell you this, the Lord will not take you someplace that your character can't keep you. He isn't going to take you somewhere if you don't have the gonads to stand up once you get there. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm preaching some truth to you right now, friend. Some of you want to go catch sharks, and you can't even catch a freaking tadpole yet. I'm just telling you the truth, right? And so we were talking the other day about what? The school of the wilderness and being trained and equipped and mobilized. And you know this, that if you are on the Lord's team and you are trained and equipped, when the Lord needs you, you ever play poker? I love to play poker, right? Love to play poker. I don't play it so much anymore. I quit playing poker. I started feeling bad for the guy I won the money from. I'm no kidding. When I'd win, I'd say, oh, man, he just lost a lot of money. So I quit playing poker. But the reality of it was there's no greater feeling than, boom, pull out that trump card. Boom, throw that card down and you win. And everybody on the whole table knows you win. Listen, the Lord is preparing some trump cards. And it's you. And it's me. But we have to get ourselves prepared and positioned. See, it may not be a trump card in Washington, D.C. It might be a trump card right there in your little town. It might be a trump card at your school. It might be a trump card with your local government. It might be a trump card in somebody else's marriage. The Lord is preparing some of you to be that card. He boom, throws it down. Boom. Everybody in the place knows that you win. So I thank God. I thank God for... Folks, some of you don't know me. Some of you do know me. I'm a regular guy. I'm just about as regular guy as you will ever, ever meet. I am. Can I tell you the truth? I'm a regular guy how do I say this? I'm a regular guy with an unusual gift. I'm just a guy. I am. And I've allowed the gift that the Lord's given me. I'm not afraid to exercise it. I'm not ashamed that I have it, and I'm not ashamed of the one who gave it to me. Oh my goodness, does that open doors? So Ohio Brett's up there, and Ohio Brett's come into my life at a good time, because you know what? He's never seen the bad. Ohio Brett's never seen a situation we can't win. He's never seen a situation we can't overcome. And so many of us are so much of our lives around people who tell you why you can't do it. Somebody give me a thumbs up. We're around those people all the time. You can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. Ohio Brett says, hey, coach, we can do that. We'll find a way to do that, coach. We can get around it. We can do that. We can do that, coach. We all need people like that. And I just want to publicly say thanks, Ohio Brett, for being that guy. We can do it. We can do that. We can do that.
Thank you, Coach. Well, thank you for being obedient to your vision.
Yeah, well, because it's a team, right? Brett's on my back porch. It's a team. He's putting a team of us together. And I don't have Brett's gift, but I'm going to tell you this. He don't have mine. I don't have Betty Perkins' gift, but she don't have mine. I don't have John Brockoff's gift, but he don't have mine. And it's one body. It's many members. And it's somehow, some way, the Lord is putting this thing together, because you never know when you are going to be the trump card. He's going to Yep. Guys ever play poker? Seven card. Oh, I love seven card stud, man. You got those two down. Got that last one down. Nobody knows. They sort of think they know what you got. You know, they sort of think they got you, but they don't really know. And the whole game can change in poker players out there, when they're dealing that last card and that dealer says to you, you want it up or down? That last card, you know what I'm talking about? You want it up or down? You want it up or down? Oh, huh? And I say, man, I want it down. I don't want anybody to know what I got, because I already got a good one. And if they give me the right one down, oh, somebody's in trouble. So that's what the Lord's doing, folks. He's dealing some cards. And I'm going to tell you, he's got some trump cards. And you're some of them. You're some of them. And you may not be the trump card in Washington, D.C., but you might be the trump card in Waverly. You might be the trump card in St. Clairsville. You might be the trump card in Neosha, whatever that town is out there. You may be that trump card. So we have to prepare ourselves and be ready for it. I'm feeling this. I want to thank just publicly I won't say names because it's just thanks to all of you who contributed for us to be to take that trip. It was it cost some money to do it, and many of you chipped in. I want you to know that we appreciate it. I told Ohio Brett this morning because he's here. All right, he stayed here last night. We got in late last night. I want you guys to know this. Coach Dave and Michelle Dobbenmeyer, we don't need any more money. I'm not wealthy, but I want you to know that everything I do, I don't need the money. We need money so I can take an army of people when we go. Come on. I want you to catch this vision. We don't need any more money. You send donations to us, I'm not stuffing my pockets with it. I'm taking Ohio Brett places. I'm taking you get what I'm doing? Not just Ohio, but anybody. I want to take an army. We can win, folks. We can win. So I want you to understand that when you're giving into this ministry, I ain't skimming it. I'm not skimming it off the top. We're putting it towards ministry work, right? That's what we're doing. And people hate to talk about money, but the truth of it is you got to have daggone money. You got to have it. And nobody wants to talk about it. And why do we get so upset when somebody talks about it? Because maybe we love money, which, by the way, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money isn't evil. The love of it is the root of all evil. It all starts with money, does it not? Does it not? Okay, I'm not going to ask for any money today. I'm merely thanking those of you who have faithfully, over the years, in this last week, dug into your pocket and sent us $100. I thank you because it was an expensive trip for us. But you guys picked up the slack. I got some great stuff to show you. Bear with me a second, okay? I know you will. Bear with me a second. I want to thank Randy, Brett, Carlos, Annette, Joe Silver. God bless Silver. Silver kept us for I don't know how many hours was it, Joe? 72 hours? You kept that thing up, kept that prayer window open. People were praying for us for our trip for supernatural connections, and we made a lot of supernatural connections. And Joe and his crew. Whoever they were, I don't know who all they were. Joe would text me, say, Coach, we're praying for you here. We're praying for that. The window's still open. We're praying for you. They're doing the heavy lifting, the heavy prayer lifting. And, you know, that's the Air Force, isn't it? So if you look at a team, a war, right? You have Air Force. You have infantry. You have SWAT team. And Joe and his guy had the Air Force going for us, Joe. And we appreciate it, man. We appreciate it.
Because it was more like submarines.
Yeah. Well, good. We needed it because we're on the left coast there. We had some good submarines, and so we appreciate it. Okay. Quickly, let me go to the calendar real quick. This weekend, folks, if you can make it, Dr. Sherry Timbany is going to be there. Go there for conference. Red Pilling the Church. Pastor Mike Spaulding's putting it on. I know they're going to have a good turnout. And I hate to tell you this. I'm sure there's some type of streaming. The reason I say I hate to tell you this, I don't have an answer for it. And Pat, Dr. Spaulding, listen, I've been so daggone busy. I'm sorry that sometimes I forget these things. But go there for Red Pilling the Church, Harvest Revival Center. Folks, I'm 60. How old am I? 52. I'm sick. I'll soon be. I'm getting older. I've never been busier. If you guys were to see a schedule, I've never been busier. But I also know at the same time, I can't do it alone. I'm going to raise some of you up to do it. Some of you guys have to do it. Step to the plate. So the Go Therefore conference is this weekend. $59 meal tickets also available. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Doc Jen. Going to be a great event. Great fellowship. You want to get encouraged. If you're hanging around all the Nancy negatives, and you're like, get away from them. Get to one of these events. Come and be part of it. So and what else do I have? It's important. Chad's having his event. Hey, listen, Kindred of the Kingdom, pretty much sold out, right, Clay? Pretty much sold out. We told you we had to know by Monday. It's pretty much sold out. If you would like to come, hey, then we would love for, we'll try to work something out there to do it, okay? But man, oh man, a lot going on. I hope to see some of you this weekend at the Go There For a Conference. Chad's doing his own Salt and Light Brigade. If you're down there in Texas, get over to Chad's. Chad's a faithful warrior for Christ, faithful warrior for the Salt and Light Brigade. Chad's all in. Get over there. You'll meet some other like-minded people coming up. The training in Hatley, Wisconsin. Come on, you up there, you cheeseheaders. Come on, get over there, man. We need you. I'm taking you somewhere this morning. Stay with me, please, all right? I'm probably forgetting something else. I'm looking over here, make sure. Jane LeBlanc got a win. Remember yesterday? Was it yesterday we talked about Jane LeBlanc and she went to Target and she says, "How come you're asking for $250? You're going to fine people $250? We called the cops. Cops said it's only $150. Why are you guys going to fine people $250 for parking in handicap parking? How come you did? And what happened? Hey Ray, can you tell us? Is Jane said anything happened from that, Ray?
Well, she did another follow up. Yesterday, and she pursued it, and they said they're going to remove the signs.
They're going to take the signs down. Yeah.
So it's going to she's trying to cost them some money. You know, they aggravate us. They got all these laws and rules and regulations. Hey, right. Who said you could charge $250? Well, you know, make some sense out of this stuff. So, and another thing, it's just good to be able to go out and engage with these people. Find out what their level is, and it sharpens yourself for something in the future the Lord might want you to do. Who knows?
Amen. Hey, Ray. Jane's getting bold, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, she's also just finishing up 40-day fast. today's her last day.
Oh, man.
So she's spiritually on fire.
Give her a milkshake, Ray.
Yeah, she's ready for that big milkshake tomorrow.
I was telling Ohio Brett when Jack Nicklaus won the 1986 Masters. Jack Nicklaus hadn't won in like, I don't know, 5 years or something. He's the greatest golfer to ever live, in my opinion. But he hadn't won in like 5 years, and he was like 46 years old or something unbelievable when he won the Masters. And I remember Lee Trevino, that everybody remembers, a great golfer, Lee Trevino, and they were doing a commentary, and Jack Nicklaus is walking down the 17th fairway or the 18th fairway, and he hadn't won in like 5 years, right? He's walking down there, and Lee Trevino said, "Hey, just get out of the way and let that hungry bear eat." Right?
Huh? You got it, yeah.
So, great. Get out of the way. Yeah, let Jane eat.
She's ready. Oh, good.
Hey, folks.
We'll see you this weekend. God bless.
Amen. Hey, folks, fasting will change you. Fasting does not change the Lord. Fasting will change you. It will empower you, and it will strengthen you. And maybe I'll do a show that later on. I got to show you this. Click on Man in America real quick here, Spence. I'm going somewhere today. Anybody ever heard of this guy? So who is this? I was watching this the other day. I was actually watching this. The Soul of America's Under Attack. We're Fighting Back. Man in America. And I said this the other day. I don't know if you got the plot to steal America. This guy was getting retweeted and reposted by the President of the United States on these videos he's making. And you know what I find out? He lives in Columbus. He lives 35 minutes away from us. He has 100,000 followers, Man in America. And he's going to come out right on a boat, Betty. He's going to come to our house. He's moving to Zanesville, Ohio, if you can believe it. And he's just a guy. He's just a, hey, we need young people. He's a young people, right? He's a young guy who's woke, who gets it. And he's making some powerful videos there. So you might want to check out his website, Man in America. That's all it is, Man in America. He said he just woke up one day. He just woke up and said, man, somebody's got to do something. And it said that the Lord laid division on his heart, that his job was to expose communism. And he jumped in, he started doing it, making videos in his basement, just like the rest, like all of us have begun. And he's made videos that the President of the United States was sharing. Can you guys believe that? From his living room, basement, whatever it is. So Shane's going to join us later on. We're going to get to know him a little bit better. Look at that. I'm reading what I wrote. Okay. Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I dive in here? Don't get me distracted. But if you got something for the good of the group, let me see. How do I get back here in the queue? Is that where I want to be? Yeah, that's what I'm. Kevin Van Story's got his hand up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say I just got to jump in right as you were talking about that. And last night at that school board, I was the only one that got to speak. The only reason they let me speak is because I think they had the fear of God in them. They knew that I'm the trump card. So thank you, coach, for giving me the courage to stand up, speak up. I made a difference. I'm going to have to keep my thumb on these people, but I'm going to make a difference. And I'm not going to allow our children to be masked up or vaxxed up. Either way.
Kevin, that's one of the things. God bless you, Kevin. By the way, that's one of the things that one of the girls, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. I'm going to have her on the show later on. The passion, when she spoke about what they did to her daughter in the public school because she wouldn't wear a mask, you could feel the fire come out of her eyes, the passion come out of her eyes. And listen, I know your pastors have told you that you're not supposed to be angry. I know that. They've lied to you, right? The Bible says to be angry and sin not. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to turn this thing on its head right in front of you. You watching? Be angry. If you see something, if you know to do good, in other words, you're mad about something and you know to do good, you know that you should be going to the school board meeting and you don't do it. So you are angry and you don't want to sin. If you know to do good and you don't go do it, that's sin. That's sin. So if the Lord has put righteous anger in you and you know there's something you ought to do about it, I hate to tell you this, you're in sin. You're in sin. For you to know to do good and not do. Lord, I'm praying for courage today, Lord. I'm praying that courage will arise in the hearts of our fellow, everybody watching right here, every person watching. Lord, I pray you put a new courage in us. Would you raise us up, Lord? Oh, man. God bless Randy Lunsford. I love Randy Lunsford so much. He was out there for 4 days. He was Randy working the crowd, Randy being Randy, Randy softly tenacious. You guys know what I'm talking about, softly tenacious. He's boring a hole in you and you don't even know it's happening, one of those kind of guys. God bless Randy Lunsford that he would come and be part of. Come on in, Randy, then Clay, then Jeff. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I didn't know Joe was – they were praying – but I appreciate it, and I believe it made a huge difference, Coach.
Sure.
We were brave. We were bold. You know, we always are. But, oh, and by the way, Coach, the sheep aren't what's taking back our country and God's kingdom right now. It's the lions.
It is, brother.
It's lions, Coach. And we're raising up lions. I mean, we're imparting and are equipping people to be lions.
That's right. Hey, Randy, I ain't no sheep. Okay, you guys, you listen. You guys hearing me? I ain't no sheep, okay? I ain't no sheep. Go ahead, Randy.
So, Coach, I could feel, I don't know. There was something, you know, we walk in this. I feel God every day, but there was a special anointing. We made so many connections, Coach, with people. It was spiritual. I mean, God opened the door. I just walked around and I would just wait and look at people. And man, they would just invite me in and everywhere, just standing in line to get something to drink. I would talk to four or five people. and it was like I would just coach them up in the moment, Coach. It was more than just encouraging them. We were laying something in them.
It's our people, isn't it, Randy? By our people, I mean, it's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. Folks, I want you to know there are hundreds, there are thousands of them with the same spirit that's going on right now. God is awakening people right now. Maybe you can't see it. Trust me. I'm sorry, Randy. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, Coach, you're right on it. But I want to say one more thing. And I know everybody. I appreciate everybody that this play was part of this in every way. But Coach, I don't know. It seemed like that our group, you, Brett, Carlos, and his wife, me, it was like that we were on a mission inside of a mission. It was There was something special. I don't know if you could gauge it. I think we touched more people and just with something that we have, we imparted so much, Coach. And it comes down from the top, Coach. And I want to just thank you for your boldness because you impart all that to us.
Just doing my job, brother. Just doing my job, right? That's why when you watch a football team, I don't know if you guys ever noticed this or not. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's John 10, isn't it? It says what? The true shepherd leads the sheep out. I don't know if you ever watched an Ohio State football game or watched any college football game. When the Ohio State Buckeyes run on the field, is the football coach, is he last? Is he come walking out of the tunnel last? Oh, no, 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 no. No, Brian Day, the coach at Ohio State University, he's in front of the line. And when the police get out of the way and say, okay, come on, he says, come on, boys, let's go. And Brian Day leads the team out on the field. See? Huh? That's what a leader does. The players follow. So I'm a leader. Come on, boys. I'm not going to ask you to do something I wouldn't do. I'll come with you. But ultimately, you folks, I'm so full of the Holy Spirit today. I wish you could feel what's going through my body. See, each one of you, hear me. You have territorial authority. You have authority where I don't have it. You live there. Jane LeBlanc is doing greater work at Target than I could do because she lives there. She has territorial spiritual authority over that place, right? And so what we want to do is encourage you, train you, raise you up so you can go exert that territorial spirit of authority that is on you as well, folks. And I'm going to talk about
it. Come on now, Joe.
Come on in, Clay.
Yeah, for the good of the group, just wanted to tell everybody we do have just a handful of spaces remaining. So just I'll put my name in contact in the chat. If you want to come to the Kindred of the Kingdom conference. And Coach, I wanted to let you know, I so much appreciate you taking time out to send videos and stuff during these weekends when y'all go on these, you know, where other people can't make the trip, because it's very encouraging and we still feel like we're part of that team that's out there. And it really helps, man. So proud of y'all this weekend. It was awesome.
Thanks, Clay. Hey, listen, friends, stop that jealousy spirit. I'm just telling you. Stop with the jealousy spirit. People say, well, how come Ohio Brett got to go with him? Hell, did you ask to go? Did you want to go? How come Randy got to go? Well, Randy decided he's going to go. I didn't call him up and say, hey, Randy, will you go with me? Randy calls me, Coach, I'm gone. I'm gone, Coach. I'm gone, Coach. So if you're sitting out there saying, well, Coach has got his favorites. Boy, he sure has his favorites. You want to get Coach's ear. You got to do things. Stop it. Will you stop it? You want to play, we'll get you in the game. All right? You want to play, we'll get you in the game. Quit sucking on your thumb and blaming all these other reasons why you can't play. Got to get in the game. We are in desperate times. Come on in, Jeff Klein, then the Pastor of Pain.
Coach, we got to go to the school board meeting last night.
Awesome, man.
It was a privilege and an honor. I'm telling you. Took four of them with me out of the church in the garage, and three out of the four are going to speak next time. I told them, I said, just go in. See how this thing's laid out. They've never been in a school board meeting before. Right. None of the four, yep. Ever. I get up there. Oh, my goodness. It was great. I'll get you the little video. Dennis is going to bring it to me today. But I got to speak. Oh, and I'll share this. 3 minutes, I got up there, and I started in. I'm telling you, it was unreal. We had Pastor Bill pray over us out in the parking lot. He got on speakerphone, prayed over us. Well, I got going, and then finally – Dr. Marjorie Bennett, 30 years on the school.
Yeah, yeah. Mount Vernon,
doctors.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He says, okay, Mr. Klein, that's enough. Your time's up. I looked at her. I said, did you time me? She said, okay, well, she said, okay, Mr. Klein, I think your time's up. I said, did you time me? She said, no. I said, so you think my time's up?
Yeah.
She looked at me like, I hate you. So at the end, afterwards, I called Dennis. He left. He didn't stick around for me. We stuck around to hear all the nonsense. A couple of secret meetings. They had to go off in a room. You know that, how they
call it. Oh, yeah. Executive session, they call them. Yeah.
So Dennis says, Jeff, he said, I got this all recorded. He said, you spoke for 8 minutes and 51 seconds. I said, what? He said, oh, yeah. It was almost 9 minutes. But the sad thing of it was, and I got to bend the ear of the superintendent a little bit afterwards. When they went into executive session, they all went in the other room, and I stopped the superintendent because I talked about the few suicides on our kids in our community recently and just everything from transgenderism to homosexual, all the isms, and just the nonsense going to school and what we're doing to these kids and the corrupt government. So then I asked him, I said, are you going into executive session about this bullying for the kid that committed suicide? And I think he's pretty young. I think he was a middle schooler. I think. I got to check this out. I just heard about it yesterday. But the kid had two daddies. I said, okay. I said, is this what you're going over an executive meeting for? He said, no. He said, I'll be honest with you. It's somebody kind of a complaint for outside of the community into our school board. I said, well, what's the deal with the kid committing suicide? Was it true he had two daddies? He said, well, yeah. He didn't really want to answer it. I'm just standing in the middle of the room talking to him. He would talk. And I said, well, he said, I don't know what the problem is. I said, I can tell you what the problem
Amen,
is.
We are a godless nation.
I said, buddy, we've become a godless nation. He looked at me and goes, now everybody says, this guy, Bill Cedar, he thinks they always say, everybody tells me, oh, he's a good Christian man.
Oh,
he
yeah,
looked
yeah.
at me and said, you know what he said? He said, Jeff, I don't believe we're a godless nation. We're still a godly nation. I said, oh, no, no, no. And then he had to get the executive.
Ask him when he started taking drugs, Jeff. Ask him if he takes drugs before he comes to all the meetings, right? I appreciate you, man. Appreciate your willingness to go and to serve. Come on in, Pastor Payne. Then I got to get somewhere. I prepared a sermon. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, Coach. Here's the deal. I was thinking about this as you were speaking today about the Trump card and having that Ohio Brett, the way a guy around you that never says you can't. It's like always, what if I fail? Well, no, what if you succeed?
There you are, baby.
I was thinking about you, Coach, and your gifting, and it reminded me back a few years back, we had a team that was 0-9, and seven of those games was in the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you had a bunch of kids that didn't know how to play. But see, there was a David that was at a cave of Adullam, had a bunch of people didn't know how to play. That next year, we went 9-0.
That's right.
And we had a coach come up to us and say, hey, did you change teams? And you looked over, we laughed, and we said, no, our team changed. That team changed of David's from the cave of Adullam, where all the outcasts, the guys, grumblers, complained. They became his mighty men.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's what's going on. And this is what I noticed about you in the natural. And me and you have talked about this. God uses the natural, touches it. It's supernatural. He can use that. And in that game, your gifting, it's knowing how to play the card. You're talking about poker, knowing how to play the hands you've been dealt with.
Amen, Tom. Amen, brother.
And that's for all of us. It's God's, it's like what he asked Moses, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? And Moses said a staff. God mm-hmm. used that staff. And that's the question, everybody. We got to go, what's God put in your hand? All of the, you know, that kind of a thing. And I just want to tell you, Coach, and you know, I've always said this, I thank you for being a trump card and being there encouraging me, because encouragers like you, we need encouraged.
We do.
And we got this game. Amen. Amen.
We do. Hey, Pastor Tom, let me paraphrase that. I believe that God said to Moses, dude, what's in your hand? He didn't say, what's in your hand? He said, come on, dude. If that's all you got, swing that thing, will you?
Right,
what's
right.
in your hand?
And he didn't say, what's in your wallet. he said, what's in your hand?
Oh,
so use it.
So use it. So listen, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. Are you ready? Are you looking at me? Everybody look at the camera. Look at me. All right. I'm going to ask you something. What are you afraid of? Hang on. The old seat belt commercial. What's holding you back? What are you afraid of? I want to talk today. I'm going to talk today. I'm going to talk this morning about fear, the spirit of fear. All right. Roger, come on in, man. I feel you. No? Would you just stick your hand up because you got to go to the potty there? I don't know what's going on. What's holding you back? What are you afraid of? Right? Because if we would all understand this. Oh, thank you. Lord, help me present this right. God has not given us a spirit. I'm going to pause right there. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. Huh? Oh, my. God is not, if you are afraid, that's not from the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about things that might make you anxious. Or in the midst, before a football game, when we're in the huddle in the locker room before the game, guys are stomping their fears. Brett said, pounding on each other's pads. They're not fearful. They are anxious. Those are not the same things. Those guys in the locker room are pacing and breathing deep. Not, they're not afraid. They're amped up. They're anxious. They want to get after it. They want to. But if you're not careful, see, you will permit the fear to paralyze you. In fact, one of the scriptures we're going to read today, if I get to it, fear hath torment. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, hang on a minute. We missed this. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound. Oh, yeah. There's more than one spirit out there, boys and girls. There's more than one spirit out there. And I know this, I don't care who you are. Fear is so easy to conquer. Does anybody know how to conquer? Does anybody know how to conquer fear? Huh? Anybody know the answer? It's very, very simple. Anybody know how to conquer fear?
Face it.
Hey.
Babe.
Nike, just do it. Just do it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what it is. I want you to think about this in your life. I don't care what it is. When that spirit of fear comes upon you, if you go through it, it vanishes. Boom, it's gone. The moment you confront your fear, it leaves. Hey, somebody give me a thumbs up and say, Coach, man, I never thought of that. I don't care. Hey, it's like I've used this illustration 1,000 times. When I was a little kid out at Buckeye Lake Pool, Crystal Pool, had this great big sliding board. It must have been, oh, I don't know, man, maybe 10 feet in the air. It seemed like it would reach to the sky. I was 5 years old, and I wanted to go down that slide so much. And every time I climb up the steps, I get to the top of the steps, I'd come back down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there? I really want to go down. I really want to go down. I'd climb up there, and I'd get at the top, and I'd get scared, and I'd go back down. And I did that about, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, climbed it. And finally, my oldest brother Joe, he was over there watching me. And I went up the steps, and the most amazing thing happened. He climbed up behind me. And he said, "You ain't climbing back down. You ain't climbing back down. Go. People behind you, go. And if you don't go, Dave, I'm going to push you." Oh, I was crying for mom and all that stuff. And you know, you go down and you hang on behind, you know, you don't want to let go. And I let go. And the moment I hit the water, fear was gone. It vanished. It was gone. It's a fear. It's a spirit, folks. And it's a spirit that is not sent from God. He has not given us this spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of, you mean there's more than one spirit? Oh, yeah. There are more than one spirit out there. I'm going to get into some of that here in a second, right? I want you to see something. Boy, you guys want to jump in here real quick. Hang on. I'm not there yet. Hey, Brett, do me a favor. Silver, get ready. Bring up Fear Hath Torment. Get ready, Joe. Bring Fear of Torment. Oh, I got so much to share with you. Folks, I want you to know, I don't care what you think. I can't believe the stuff the Holy Spirit gives me. I just can't believe it. This isn't me. I'm just telling you. I got up this morning. This is what the Holy Spirit dumped in me. Because it's for, are you ready? This is for all of us. We are so paralyzed by fear. Silver, 1 John 4. Now, hey, Joe, I'm probably going to interrupt you here a few times, okay?
I'm sure you will.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit.
What? Wait a minute. What? Every spirit? What? You mean there's more than one? Go ahead, Joe.
But try the spirits, whether they are of God.
Man, oh man, oh man. We could go home now, right? We could go home right now because there are a lot of spirits out there that are not of God. But hang on, some of them maybe appear to be of God. Because the Bible says sometimes Satan comes as an angel of light, right? All right, Joe, I'll shut up. Start all over. I'll shut up. No, I won't. Go ahead.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Oh, Joe, I want to preach right there, but I'm not going. Go ahead.
hereby know ye the Spirit of God.
Okay, hang on. Hang on. You ready? You want to know the Spirit? Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead. Wait. What if Dr. Fauci comes and he's talking about fear? Is that the Spirit of God? Is that the Spirit of God, folks? Go ahead, Joe.
Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God.
Amen. Keep going.
And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God.
Pretty simple.
And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
Wait a minute, Joe. They've been telling me that the Antichrist is going to show up here in the last days. He's going to show up. Larry says here 2,000 years ago, he's already here. He's already here. And, oh, wait a minute. Was John lying? Was he drunk? What was going on? Yeah, even now, it is in the world. What is that spirit of Antichrist? That spirit that says Jesus Christ isn't. Oh, keep going, Joe.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Joseph, pronouns are important. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who would be them that you've overcome? Who would that be, friends? Why, I believe that'd be those spirits, right? Those ones we're supposed to test. Keep going, Joe.
They are of the world.
Who is, Joe? Who is?
Those spirits.
Those spirits. Oh, okay. You mean there's more than one spirit? Go ahead.
Therefore, speak they of the world, and the world heareth them.
Wow. These ungodly spirits are speaking to the world, and the world's hearing them. Oh, golly, this will preach. Go ahead.
We are of God.
Oh, wait a minute. No, oh, Joe, you didn't say that right. He said, we are of God. We ain't of those guys. We are of God. Go ahead.
We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us.
Wow.
He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Okay, Joe, somebody crack this open for us. How do we know who's of God and who's of not? How do we know? Hereby we know the spirit of truth. We separate the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we know that? Well, God, oh my goodness, it's truth, right? Keep going. Vinny gave me a boom on that one. Thanks, Vinny.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
But Larry, he's not talking to love in the world, is he, Larry? Not talking about love in the world. Let us love one another. Who's he writing to? Go ahead.
He that loveth not knoweth not God.
He that loveth not. Love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Okay, keep going.
In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Don't miss this. He made his love available to everybody. Oh, hang on. It doesn't say he loves everybody. It said he made the love available. Go ahead.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Okay, here we go.
Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Come on, come on.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
So, Larry, just those guys who go around and say, God bless America, God this, God this, God that, they ain't using that name, are they? Are they using that name? Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Got a something about that name. Keep going. We're almost where I'm heading.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Here we go.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait a minute. Do we, Jill, somebody help me. Somebody a lot smarter than me. Do you think he's talking about he is our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment? Like the judgment day, that's when we're going to have boldness? What good is boldness for me at the judgment day? See, today is the day of judgment. Right now, this moment is the day of judgment, folks, for people that we run into every day. And it says, herein is our love made perfect that we have boldness when everybody else around us isn't listening to truth. We have boldness because as he is, so are we in this world. Folks, this is not a futuristic, this is not a futuristic day of judgment verse. This is a confrontational verse that we are confronting the world because of our love. And our love for who? Our love for him. Our love for truth. Because we love truth, we don't remain silent in the face of the lies of the world. Michelle's going to say, what are you yelling about? Because I feel it. They taught us just the opposite. They have taught us just the opposite. Keep going, Joe.
There is no fear in love.
Boom!
But perfect love.
No. You got to sit there a minute, Joe. Hey, folks, what are you afraid of? There is no fear in love. Reggie, do you love those little babies that are being trafficked? Yeah, you do. There ain't no fear. Why? Because your love overcomes the fear. Your love triumphs over the fear. Go ahead, Joe.
There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment.
Oh, my goodness.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there because we go on and on and on and on and on. Oh, my goodness, huh? What's that say? Huh? Herein is our love made perfect. Anybody want their love to be made perfect? Anybody out there want their love to be made perfect? Well, how about that we may show boldness in the day of judgment? Because as is, we are to testify to the truth. We are his ambassadors. We are his witnesses to the truth. They've told us in the church to don't judge. Don't speak up. Don't say anything. Love everybody. Don't be confrontational. Don't do that. Don't do that. When really the reason they're telling that, hold your ears. Hold your ears. The reason they're telling you that is because they're chicken shits. That's why. Huh? What's it say? There is no fear in love. Huh? There is, if you're serving fear, you ain't serving love.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
The context is not, it's, what are they judging? They're judging, you're judging the spirit right
yes,
there.
Yes, Randy. Judgment. Yes, 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 yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, okay, listen. I only got 12 minutes left. Roger, your hand's up. Are you still been waiting for me before? Roger, then Ray, then Larry. No? Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, Coach, I heard a short saying years ago, and it's very, very easy to remember. Fear knocked, faith answered, no one was there.
Fear knocked, faith answered, and no one was there. And Jane, I'm going to tell you something, Jane. I watched that video. Sister, I want you to know this, that when you spoke the truth, the fear of the Lord came over them, Jane. They all of a sudden were fearful. Did you notice that, Jane? Did you notice how all of a sudden, when you opened your mouth and you spoke the truth, you were suddenly in the power position? Did you notice that, Jane?
And you know what's cool is that they were subjugated to me. I wasn't anybody like the cop or corporate or anybody. I was just asking them questions. And it's like God put them, you know, they were submissive to me. So that to his power, that was pretty
cool. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, right? Yes, he is the truth. And so there is no fear in love. You say, I love the Lord. Oh, yeah, you're scared? Scared to open your mouth?
Huh? And you know what? Once you go forward, you can't go back. It's like when someone takes a deep breath and they're going to say something, and then they don't. You know, it's like get it out and you got to just keep going.
That's it. Keep going. Come on, Larry.
Amen, Jay. Amen.
Yeah, you know, for years now, I mean, a long time, I've known that there's an aspect of the subject of fear that is a little different than what you're talking about this morning. What you're saying this morning is absolutely dead on. But not until this morning has the Holy Spirit kind of put clarity on the other aspect of fear. The fear you're talking about is a spirit of fear. Now, fear is also a tool. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, what sir. Do tools do? Tools fine-tune things. The fear of the Lord fine-tunes love. And that is totally opposite from the spirit of fear that you're talking about.
Amen. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? I hope they're afraid of me. I bet they're afraid of Jane. Hey, Jane, they're afraid of you. They're afraid, but no. They're not afraid of you. They're afraid of that spirit that's in you. Come on in, Joe Allen. Come on in, Joe. Come on in, Reggie.
Coach, you know, I've been a doer my whole life, raised on a dairy farm. But it's the little things that encourage you to overcome fear. Just like this past weekend, I got a shower that I want to retile. $4,500 job. I had a contractor come out here and everything to look at it. And I told him, I said, thank you so much. He said, what do you mean? I said, you just gave me an encouragement to do it myself. And I talked to him and I witnessed him about, you know, God's fear. And I gave him a little talk about fear. Mm-hmm. So he didn't get his $4,500, but he got to talk about the fear.
Amen. So Joseph, listen, hang on. I promise you, Reggie, be right with you. One of the things I learned from Ohio Brett, you know, one of the things Ohio Brett does is fundraise. It's one of, hey, wait a minute. Hey, listen, folks, look at me. Brett's not afraid to ask. How many would say, you know, coach, that's the hardest thing for me to do is ask. That's one of the hardest things for me to do is to ask. Brett said, I'm not afraid to do that. He said, sometimes those guys are waiting to be asked. Sometimes they wonder, maybe he doesn't believe in his vision because he hadn't asked me for anything. Brett says, you got to ask. Well, why don't we ask? Because we're fear of rejection. Hey, folks, how many doors have not been opened for you because you didn't ask? You were fearful to ask. Go, Reggie.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. One thing they teach you in the police academy is about fear, and it's supposed to do one of two things. You either run or you face it, right? It's fight or flight. Right. And for people like such as me, like my personality, we don't understand people that cower. It's very difficult for us to wrap our heads around it. And it actually makes us angry because we're like, where is everybody? So the first time I ever knew that I was a protector, like I truly understood who God made me, was when I was a police officer and a guy came at me with, I'm making it really short. Guy came at me with a knife. I only ran to create distance because we were within that feet. When I ran back after him, after I pulled my gun, he was at the end of the hall with his child at knife point. He had a baby in his arm. And this fear overcame me. But what it did is it turned into this amazing, like, I don't know, supernatural thing where I stood at gunpoint for 2 hours with this guy. And they had to call in a SWAT team. And that's why. But the other cops that came in, they would come and they'd drop their arms and then they'd have to have somebody. I stood for 2 hours at gunpoint. And that's what fear should do if it's guided correctly.
Having done all to stand therefore. Revelation 20:15. Come on in. Then Joe. Then Betty.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Two things. The first, I have a prayer that my neighbor sent me. It's a renunciation of fear. So I thought that might be relevant to the conversation that we're having today. But the other thing is, I guess the Lord's laying on my heart that I need to do this with the sign I'm going to show you here. I've been afraid to put this sign up in my front yard because I don't want my house to get burned down in the middle of the night or be vandalized, but I think I got my sign from the Lord that it's time to put that sign up.
Amen. Amen, right? Hey, fear not what man can do to you, right? Speak the truth. Oh, there'll be consequences to it. But listen, there's victory beyond those consequences because the Lord said he'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. He's not going to ask you to do something and then desert you, folks. He isn't going to do it. He isn't going to do it. In fact, he's going to be sitting up there and he's going to be notifying, hey, everybody, watch my boy. Look at my boy down there. Look at my boy down there.
Go Coach, I got to jump in, please. I got to jump in real quick. What you're talking about today, this that spirit of fear we know is from Satan because he roams about as a roaring lion because there's a context there. A roaring lion, the lion is the king of the jungle, but he's not the fastest. Mm-hmm. So what he does is he sneaks upon his prey and then he roars. Just what Reggie said, the fight or flight, that little animal, the neurological system, they paralyze, they freeze. And in that moment of fear, the paralyzing, that is when that lion jumps and grabs the prey and devours him. That is what Fauci, that's the spirit that they're on, is they're trying to seeking who that Satan's doing that to seek who can he can devour.
Amen.
And we know that's the spirit from Satan.
Okay, now listen,
it's the spirit of fear from the devil.
He goes around like a roaring lion.
Right,
he isn't one.
Like
he
roaring.
Acts like one.
Right, he's trying to roar. He's a roaring lion to freeze us to attack where we're that fear he knows. So he says he roams about. He creeps about seeking. He looks for those guys to paralyze with a roar. Try to shout louder. But I love it, Coach, because you shout louder.
Amen. Come in, Joe, then Betty.
Coach, thanks. Yeah, this is a spot on today. And not just in what we're supposed to do for the Lord and we drop the ball because we're afraid, but all throughout our lives, all of us don't take the shot and we miss 100% of those, as Wayne Gretzky so aptly told us. We missed 100%. You can measure how much that cost is at that time.
Amen. Why? Hey, folks, we don't ask because why? They might say no, but they might say yes, right? It's all
exactly.
Spirit of fear blocks us, right? Betty, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to say we were talking about gifts earlier, and I just want to thank God for you. I want to thank God for my family. You are now my family, and we all have gifts, unique gifts that God has given us. You just, like you say, you have to find it. I know what mine is. And I ain't going to say, but everybody has a gift. And there's a quote that says, the fear we don't face becomes our limits.
The fear Amen. We don't face becomes Amen. Our limits. Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. There is not one fear that you will face that doesn't flee. Fear flees. Fear flees. It's a paper tiger, friends. Now, listen, I'm not talking about the type of fear that when a dog growls and the hair stands up on your back of your neck. That's normal survival fear, right? But you're afraid to go to the school board and speak the truth? Really? Really? You got it backwards. School board ought to be afraid of you. Got it backwards. The righteous are as bold as lions. The righteous are. And evil men flee when no one pursues. They ought to be afraid of us. Mark Trump, come on, and then Clay.
Whenever that dog sees you, he senses fear. You have the same ability over animals. We are humans. God created us with all the authority of heaven and earth. We have authority over animals, and you all know somebody with authority over animals. How do they do it? They've conquered that fear.
Amen.
That animal knows it. People know it too.
Hey, so think about this. When you go up to a strange dog and he growls at you, why does he growl at you? He's fearful. And then after you pet him behind the ears, then all of a sudden he's not afraid anymore. Come on, friends. Clay, quickly.
We need to lay down our lives or be willing to lay down our lives for our families, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for God. And somewhere along the line, at an early age, we started thinking about ourselves, and extending our lives and living old lives into retirement, dying old. And we need to quit being selfish and fearful.
Amen. Greater love is no man than this. Come on, amen. Man. Randy, last one for the day. Go, brother.
Coach, Clay Clark's, that venue, that whole thing, first point, Coach, is you kill the spirit of fear.
Got to kill it.
He would not let you come if you wore a mask. You have to kill that mask. You have to kill it.
Yep. No mask, baby. No mask. Hey, they're coming back at us with the masks. But listen, God has not given you or me a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit that has torment, right? Perfect love. By the way, who is love? Why, God is love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Stop being afraid. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.